Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Varchi, guitar, abs, sex, pole dancing, Riverdale's back. We're here to break it down for AfterBuzz TV. The whole crew's back in the house. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Fans break. We love this show. Oh my god. I love how passionate we all are.
What's up, everybody? We just got released from Shankshaw. We're back. We're here to talk Riverdale on AfterBuzz TV. That's Portugal the Man you're hearing right there. Songs everywhere. What's up, everyone?
A very low-key intro there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just rolling in cool.
The song makes me feel cool when I hear it, so, you know, it'll be cool. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk Riverdale. The whole crew's back. Let's start on this side. Welcome back to the panel, Sam D.
Well, I've been here, but I just put up a bit of a fit in the British accent that I wasn't celebrating when I came back 3 weeks ago, but I'm Sam D. 43, Sam Davidson. You can find me there or on the live chat.
Sick. Joelle, what's up?
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey everybody, Frank Moran. I know I wasn't here last week. I had to go see a doctor. My body was starting to break down from the high amounts of ampness I've been generating this season so far, so I just had to get medically cleared, and he's giving me the approval to come back and do the show.
Were you with Sabrina, the teenage witch, maybe?
I cannot neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Don't we start with that piece of news? You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, here, doing Riverdale After Show on Wednesdays. So, yeah, this is the Riverdale After Show. Before we get into this week's episode, Riverdale has a big spinoff coming. That is that Sabrina, the teenage witch, is actually called Sabrina... There's a longer title that's not right in front of me here, but there's two seasons on Netflix coming of the Sabrina show,
which is going to be interesting because I'm hearing people being like, well, it's not exactly a spinoff; it's still under the same comic house, still owned by Archie Comics, but that it's going to be completely different than the show. That there won't be any tie-ins. I don't know how true that is. CW and Netflix have a really great working relationship. Creator of the show suggested that their second season numbers were due to Netflix airing their first season. So I'll be interested to see how much actual crossover there is. Most interesting is that they're going to cast a different Sabrina than they were originally going to cast.
Yes, it's the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yes, Chilling Adventures, of course.
And whether Netflix gives them the opportunity to kind of go a little bit more intense or risque, however you might want to interpret that, than they would be able on the CW.
Yeah.
Maybe that might allow them for that subject matter.
Yeah,
it could be interesting.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not upset. I just hope that there is room for growth and creative, coming together, these two shows, because they need to come together. I want Sabrina to be a part of Riverdale. I think they have been inching towards Sabrina as far as the Greendale, all that, you know. So I hope it works.
I think it will. There's a couple different things to point out there. I think the biggest is that in the world of television right now, if you created a show, the number one network you'd want your show on would be Netflix. I think that's the spot right now. It seems to be everybody watches it. If it has that brand on it right now, there's just a very high amount of interest. So I actually think in a lot of ways, putting that show on Netflix will actually get more attention thrown back to Riverdale. I think it's a pretty smart move on their part to move it over there. I think HBO is the only one that you could really put in the same category right now.
Yeah.
And I even think Netflix is above HBO. I think there's a stigma with HBO that, like, they're so precious with their shows. Netflix seems to be willing to put a lot of content out.
They will put almost anything
out. Yeah. Well, so Dream to Aspire says, a little sad because I wanted to see Sabrina in the Riverdale verse. CW loves its crossovers, which is, I'm totally with you on that, Dream to Aspire.
I mean, who, would you rule it out?
No, because I think Netflix is creating its own dimension in a way, and they're creating their own universe, and it's not as though CW is going to be crossing over with, you know, CBS, or of course CBS,
but it's not unprecedented.
ABC, Fox.
It's not unprecedented for networks to cross over when shows have harmonious, you know, links. So I'm really still hoping, especially because this season was fully written before we learned about the spinoff in the first place. So I feel strongly that Sabrina is still coming.
Me too.
I think that more than likely what you'll see is this season would air, and then possibly some Riverdale characters, or Sabrina would maybe show up in the next season of Riverdale, possibly.
What did they say last season? That we would, because we thought we were going to see Sabrina at the end of last season, and they said no, next season.
Unless we did, we just didn't realize it.
Also fair. But they are recasting Sabrina. I know that. Gotcha. So we'll have, I'm nervous, guys. I'm excited, but I'm nervous.
Yes.
This would be cool to see if it, in more modern age, I know we talked about other networks crossing over, but to actually have a network and a streaming service crossover. Yeah, interesting take if they actually did something like that.
Bound to happen, so why not now?
Exactly. Everything is on the table. Let's get straight into the episode. There was so much to talk about in this episode. My goodness. We're just careening towards exciting stuff. A lot of Archie Abb shots in this episode.
So much shirtless Archie.
How many? Like seven?
There's like three different scenes where you saw Archie with his shirt off.
I was wondering if you were counting his abs.
Yeah. I wanted to be
You don't need to. They're always there. They are always there.
So why don't we start with the smallest piece of the episode, because it was only one scene, but it's very relevant, and that would be Cheryl and Josie. What that was about. So we talked a little bit last week about it, and we were all kind of asking the question with Cheryl, what's going on there? It definitely seemed like they were pushing us more in that direction this week. It seems like Cheryl's pretty into Josie, right?
Yes. I mean, we have her massaging her with lavender oils in the shower room. This is a weird thing, because it doesn't feel like it's love. It feels like it's a possessive thing, like she needs to like own someone, like all of their attention, like maybe this is a replacement for her brother, which she never really got last season, and she lost all of her like cheer bitches. She's no longer captain, so maybe this is what she's doing with Josie.
I mean, I can see some, I mean, just with the amount of stuff that she's gone through already in her life, just, you know, any like exploring, experimenting, just trying to find some kind of stable ground.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, another step into her being Lex Luthor, not saying, you know, Lex did any of that, but I just think that she's trying to find a way for people to love her and accept her. And she does it in the worst way possible to make people uncomfortable and angry, which I think Josie was.
Yeah, I don't think Cheryl knows how to be loved, because she has never really been loved.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that her reaction is like, if I possess you, if nobody else talks to you, if your focus is all on me, then that is a good, healthy relationship, which obviously it is not.
Right.
We've been working for Ben and I.
Oh, no.
We didn't.
Wait, which one is which?
So, sorry, Zias B in the chat said, Cheryl is more like poison ivy.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting thought.
We didn't see any fallout from Chuck Clayton stuff last week, so there's none of that. He didn't show back up. And we also didn't see Reggie, though we did hear about Reggie, because he offered to pay Josie $5,000 to perform in a car lot, to which Cheryl said, it's just a step above amateur porn.
Get out of here, Cheryl.
I mean, no. It's like, as long as she escorts.
And then she pushed the milkshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, escorts him. Mm. That sounds like a prostitute to me.
So, yeah, it sounds like that to me also.
No, escort service is not necessarily prostitution, okay? That's just a good time where you get some cash at the end of the night. No penetration necessary.
Okay? Well, escort service then. You know, is that what Josie's getting herself into? Is that what we want her to get into?
No. Do I want $5,000 for five songs? Get in there. Make your cash and bounce, man. Yes.
Josie is too unsure of herself, okay, guys?
So, all right, let's continue through the episode. Let's start with Varchi. Wow. So, a lot to unpack here. So, Archie opens up the episode with I Love You. Yeah. And Veronica's just not ready to hear it. I did not think that at the beginning of this episode we were going to have multiple breakups at the end. I didn't see that coming. Did you guys see that coming? Frank, did you see that coming?
I did not see that coming. Nor, I also find it kind of at the beginning of the episode, like the way, I mean, because we have Jughead kind of being the narrator for Riverdale. But then I'm also wondering, like, you know, like, how is he figuring out all this information? Is, like, Archie, like, telling me, like, man, Veronica and I, man, we are getting freaky a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot, Jughead. So then how's he proving all this information that he's always writing about?
Yeah, Nicholas Stormy says, get these kids some damn condoms.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get pregnant.
I think they have condoms, I'm hoping, in the Lodge house, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was almost, this episode to me was very much catching us up on things that they have not showed us in the past three episodes, which was Veronica and Archie having a lot of sex. They showed it to us. At the beginning of the season, or the end, no, the beginning
end
of
last
the season.
Season.
And beginning of
no,
the season.
No, the shower scene happened at the beginning of this season.
But they had sex, I think, or did they not have sex at the end of last season?
They did, because, yeah, that was how the season ended. Right?
And Betty and Jughead didn't.
Yeah, they almost did, but they didn't. And then we came back, and then the shower scene happened this season when she was like, Ari, you feel like sad? Yeah. Sex. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure.
And then we kind of lost that. But now we're like, okay, what have those two been up to behind the sheets?
Yeah. A lot of sex.
Yeah.
A lot of sex. It's funny that, like, this show, and I think this is just a theme with the CW in general, it's basically a bunch of 25-year-olds that are supposed to be 16.
Oh, yeah.
And on every level, it's like, if you actually were to take them at face value as real-life 16-year-olds, pretty much everything about it would be totally inappropriate. Like, everything.
Yeah, but
like,
not inaccurate. And that's, I was kind of thinking about that as I was watching the show. Like, 16-year-olds have sex. Like,
yeah,
that's not...
I just mean, like, there's just, like, a lot. Like... like Betty dancing at the on the pole.
Well, that is a whole other story. We'll talk
she's like
about.
A 15 or 16-year-old that's like in a bar and her mom's there and she's doing a pole dance and somehow.
Did you live in a small town?
No, I didn't.
Okay, no. So in a small town, if you're the right kind of person, like if your family's been living there for a long time, you can get away with a lot. You get like we had a like an 18-plus bar, but you know, you get in when you were 16, 14, and then they had like sudsy nights. Not appropriate. 14-year-olds don't need to be there, but they were.
Sure.
Real life.
Okay, fair.
And Charmed Original, of course, says Archie and Veronica didn't have sex in the finale. Archie slept on the floor.
That's what I was thinking. I thought that maybe because they were drunk.
Not? Oh man.
Party. Yeah. So all right, so we start out
good
with this.
Good catch, Charmed Original.
Yeah, Charmed Original, just the central.
The backbone of the show.
We get all of our information from. Just kidding, but not at all.
For serious.
For serious. So like, Archie's like, I love you, and now there's a whole conversation. So he's having his conversation with Fred, and she's having her conversation with her parents. I liked the two halves of the conversation happening. I thought that was a really nice scene. It made me laugh. I also thought that both of their reactions were great.
Can I just read what I wrote? Veronica, what is it? You have friends. Why are you talking to your parents? Like, they are just telling them everything. Isn't this what you would tell Betty or Jughead? Or any, but there are so many other people that would listen. Josie will listen.
Yeah.
Reggie would listen. Why are you telling your parents?
So specifically for Veronica, I found this a little weird. I thought somebody in the chat just said it. I think that her talking to her mom makes a lot of sense. Her and her mom were really, really close season one.
Yeah.
So it might have been like a cool reconciliation moment between them of like, look, I have to talk to you about this weird thing that's happening in my life and I don't know who else to bring it up to. Her dad being there was kind of weird. Like, they have not had any kind of common ground at all. He has not been pro Archie up until this moment. But it was like I thought that was kind of strange. I did like Archie talking to his father because that was like, it was a taste of the old like relationship that they had. We haven't seen that in a minute.
Right.
I also know why even talk to Hiram, because you already know going in what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dad, I'm not going to talk to you about this.
Well, except Hiram's like, why don't you bring Archie around a little more? Oh, actually, I think it was beforehand. Because what did he say? He's a burly. A burly dude.
Well, that was Hermione. That was Hermione said that.
Yeah. No, I thought he said it too.
He said I wouldn't mind seeing Archie around more. And then maybe it was all Hermione.
I'm pretty sure.
Because then it went over to Archie getting out, and it's like, he's. Well, we got lost looking at his abs.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Clearly.
He's a burly boy.
There's parts of me that thought this episode didn't make sense because why are they talking to their parents?
Right.
But I think it's supposed to be reflection of perhaps what their parents have done in the past and how connected they are to each other.
Yeah.
And that, and we'll get into, you know, the Alice and Betty storyline, but this is what their parents had done in the past, and we know that Fred and Hermione knew each other back in the day, and same, you know, with Hiram. So I think that once we finish the season, re-binge it, this episode will make a lot more sense.
So ZSB Lou says, interested in Frank's beef this episode, LOL. Curious if that means Frank and all of the weights that he lifts and his beef?
Yes.
Or his beef with the episode? Not sure. Calling you out on air. Clarify.
My beef is, like, for Legends of Tomorrow, another show that I do. If I have lots of issues with that show constantly.
So oh, got it.
That is my so beef about a particular
beef
episode.
Guy.
So, okay. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, let's slip out some Riverdale beef
is
during the course of this discussion.
Is there a logo for this? I picture you in, like, a 50s milkman thing with, like, a paper hat.
That's right.
Someone draw Frank's beef logo.
All right,
that's amazing.
Frank needs to start, like, tweeting and being like BYOB, but it's be, like, bring
your own beef.
Yes, yeah, all right. Bring your own
well,
beef.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to who is it? Aru something. It said a parents flashback episode, which for the love of God, I hope is coming.
CW.
Every ounce of my soul.
I want all the 80s gear. I want the ridiculous makeup. I want someone to slap someone. You guys know I love my soap opera drama. Like, oh, yes.
Well, I don't think it would be 80s because they're not that old. I think they're all the parents are in their 40s.
Right.
So if you had like a flashback to high school, I guess it would be
late
30
80s.
Years. I guess it would be late 80s. High school flashback? Yeah, good point. Never mind. I'm done. Let's move on. all right. So so we have this whole thing going on with the I love you. I think probably the storyline of them chasing down the janitor is fine. It's funny. I like don't really care who the Black Hood is at this point. I like care so much more about the high school relationships. I just don't like, I mean, like, I kind of care who the Black Hood is, but I also feel like we're gonna find out and it's gonna be like either a character we're familiar with or just a complete like non sequitur, and then we're gonna go to the mid-season finale and it's not gonna be relevant anymore. I almost feel like the it's been too long. I feel like they should have wrapped it up by now. Actually,
do you feel like if you kill someone of importance that you'd be roped back in?
Maybe. I guess it just feels like it's almost like he's a serial killer, but it's like funny. It doesn't feel like the stakes are very high. I don't know.
Definitely. We haven't had him call Betty in a minute, and so that kind of tension has been dropped a lot. He sent some letters, but
yeah.
They even passed, even like the reaction from the characters in the show was very like, oh no, he sent like a dozen of these. Nobody's worried.
Can we talk about Hermione, you know, saying, oh, she sent, you know, he sent your father and I a letter. She was not scared.
No.
I thought she knew exactly. And the thing is, Hermione, last season, we got to know her. Mm. And maybe I feel that because we interviewed Marisol and I love her. Mm. But we got a, you know, clue into her life. But this season, she is honestly just a mob wife. And that's all. And she's putting on a show. And we don't get to see those behind-the-scenes things.
I kind of hope Veronica addresses that soon, because I really miss their mother-daughter relationship. It's one of my favorite things about season one. And it's clearly putting a strain on Veronica, as we see a little bit later in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I think the challenge with having a serial killer on a serialized show is that there's only so many popular characters that you maybe could harm or put in jeopardy. And then at the other point, then it just becomes these kind of like one-off characters that you see for an episode or two. And at some point, you kind of lose the drive of like wanting to find out about who this person is, because you're like, well, there's no big stakes because nobody's really.
I think they made a mistake by having him close range shoot Moose and Midge through the car window, and nothing happened to either of them really. Mm-hmm. I think that was a mistake because it just made the stakes way too low. Like, this guy is totally incompetent that he would shoot two people at point blank range multiple times, and like the worst that would happen was like Kevin goes to visit Moose in the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of the damage.
You know, I think Black Hood might be a euphemism of sorts, because a Black Hood is saying you're covering up who you are. And so it, you know, the Black Hood who's actually behind it probably isn't the person that's behind it.
Yeah, right. And we've talked about that a little bit, that we think that maybe it's like Polly or somebody controlling the Black Hood.
Or Hiram Lodge.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, Hermione was one of our favorite characters last season. And, I mean, how much have we heard about her opinion of things recently? Not a lot.
Yeah, or maybe it'll go, like, technically unsolved, like the Zodiac murders. Which, by the way, because there was so many similarities, I watched Zodiac again recently. Really good movie, pretty underrated.
The Jake Gyllenhaal movie?
Yeah. And weird, like, the way it ends, it's just, like, such, so, like, kind of unsatisfying. It's just, like, it's never totally solved. They don't actually ever catch him. But anyway, back to the show. So, they go searching for this dude, and the episode ends with Archie and Veronica finally talking, and This was probably my favorite moment in the episode because, like, I really like depressing music a lot, and I find myself putting it on in, like, all situations. I just really like really, really, like, super somber music, like movie scores especially. And my girlfriend will always just be like, can we put on something else? Because it'll always be like, we're, like, cooking and having fun. And I'm just like, and so she's like, Archie, it's a party. He's like, yeah, Ronnie, you're right. I signed us up for a duet to sing Mad World together. It's the most depressing song ever written.
Mad World is like one of my favorite songs of all time. I learned it from Donnie Darko, so that particular version is my favorite. And when they killed it. They killed singing great. That. It was amazing.
They go up there and everybody's like, turn it off. This is a party. It's like, but yeah, so they, I mean, obviously an incredible cover and nice. I like that they're continuing to push the show in that direction.
Mm. Musically?
Yes. Yes. This is the first music episode for Archie in quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you finally get to see him the guitar,
every time we say, okay, I'm not going to lie. Last year, my Spotify playlist, a lot of Archie stuff in Riverdale. Can you hear me? Like, literally, can you hear me? Every time I hear Archie, I think he's singing that song.
Is that an Archie song that he wrote?
Yeah, you know, to Miss Grundy.
Oh, I loved her. She's dead now.
It wasn't very on point, but, you know, it's on Spotify. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so Nella J, Veronica just doesn't love him. She also have a good example of love from her parents, how she's supposed to know how to love and how to understand feelings of love. So what was that about? So Hiram and Hermione don't love each other.
Well, no, I don't know if I'd agree that she doesn't love Archie. I don't know if that she feels secure in expressing that.
Yeah.
And because putting her emotions out like that. Are in Grunts. Some kind of situation.
Well, and the thing is, like, I mean, there was a time when, you know, saying I love you, like, every time you saw or left a person was just not that common. My grandparents are not those people. Like, I've never heard them say they love anyone, period. End of story. Like, babies, nothing. They're like, you are a person. Great. Move on. So I feel like a lot of this is a situation a lot of people can identify with. And I totally understand Veronica being like, I don't know how to do this. This is all happening really fast. And I think she probably does love him. And that fact alone is what's scaring her away. Is like, I don't know how to be there for you or care for you.
I mean, she said, I can't let myself go there with you. She can't let herself. Not that she's not feeling something like it. She's just not going to let herself. So obviously, you know, there's four main characters on the show and it's successful. So it's going to run for a lot of seasons.
I'm just going to say, I think that Hermione did that with Fred. And she can't let Veronica do that with Archie.
Ben, I love you.
What? I can't let myself go there with you.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
I just got the chills, and then you guys did that, and I ruined it.
But I was just going to say, the show's going to run for a long time. I just think probably they're just going to keep trading boyfriend-girlfriend for a lot of seasons.
Yes.
Which is exciting. So before we get into the second part of the show, I want to talk to you guys right now about something very exciting, and that is that Vikings is back on the air. It's on History. It premiered November 29th. It is very exciting. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers has joined the cast this season as Bishop Hemond. The season is 10 episodes long. This is like History's big show. So this is it looks and is awesome and has the same tone as like your gigantic Game of Thrones, your American Gods, like big budget, totally incredible looking, very, very violent. You watch the show, right?
I do. I freaking love it.
Yeah. Vikings is very exciting, and it's I would call this History's flagship show. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, this is a big show. I always say that Ben Robson's on the show. He's handsome, he's a big dude, he's jacked. You know, check that out. So, anyway, guys, check out, if you want to see who will rise on History, Vikings is back, and that's the big hit. So let's talk Riverdale.
Also, quick shout out to the after show for Vikings.
Of course.
Center time, Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights, Vikings after show. Check it out.
But with Carrie Lane and nobody else.
Carrie Lane?
My good friend Carrie Lane.
Oh, right, Steve? Is that right?
Who else is on it?
Nice.
Okay. Cool. Excellent. All right, guys. Let's talk about the other relationship on the show. We've got
big movements over here.
You know, I think before we get into the Bughead action,
can we talk Allison FP?
Yes.
Yes.
So, some big ones tonight. This was fun. It was fun that they waited to go there so long that they teased it. But this was the first episode that we really got. Like, we really got it. What are you guys all laughing about?
I just, you know, as we were watching it, I was like, they banged, they're gonna bang. This is like,
they called it moment one. She was like, they're gonna bang. And I was like, what?
And I think I read it in my notes, they're gonna bang. And I just, I think they're doing something with the parents mirroring the right. children's like love stories. But, I mean, I felt as though this episode skipped perhaps one episode where we figured out what the hell was wrong. I mean, her and Hal, Alice and Hal.
Yep.
We didn't get that much. I mean,
but
you know, she agree,
like Alice and Hal have never been a good couple. Like,
I mean, they had big problems last season.
Every time we see them, they're fighting. They like loathe each other. Like,
Hal's also kind of a piece of poop, it seems like.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Totally. Like Hiram and Hermione, like as dramatic and like weird as their relationship is, I believe that there's like a foundation there. I believe that there's like love and some trust and understanding between the two of them. But like those guys, I don't see it for Polly's parents at all.
Well, I mean, certainly given it for whatever happened in the past with the baby that they had in Hal's.
True
in that. I feel like even though they stay together, that is something that just is always kind of eating at Alice
yeah.
for the rest of the relationship and just kind of really taints it.
So there was like a couple different moments. The first one, obviously, FP gets out of jail and she says, you know, isn't it true what they say about inmates?
Oh
and he's like,
God.
What do they say? And she's like, that they're incredibly sexually frustrated. And you're like, whoa! Whoa!
What an opening line for that.
Toothpaste out of the tube.
Because, you know, Alice saw FP before he went to prison.
Yeah.
And she didn't say anything like that. All of a sudden, she's like, so, all the sexual energy coming out of her.
I mean, he do clean up real good.
Of yeah. course
so
he does.
Good coming out of that prison.
She lost a little of FP in prison. She was like, man, I really miss having that FP around.
I know, and then they're like sitting there talking about, and that was one of my favorite moments, because like, FP was like, in a gang and drank a lot, and he's sitting down and he's like, actually Alice, I'm in AA now, and she's like,
and with his tea,
and he's like,
that's coffee,
he's so high,
and he's like, and I'm not going to be going back to the Serpents, and he's like, didn't think I had good intentions, did you? It's like, congratulations on having good intentions. People that have bad habits can't kick them because they have good intentions. They say they're going to change.
Most people have good intentions, especially even if they have their, you know, pinky up in the air when they drink their coffee.
And he immediately rejoined the Serpents, so.
but for legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
His good intentions would have been followed through had his son's life not been on the line.
But then even when he invites Alice to the party and says, don't bring Hal. Just come alone.
He doesn't say don't be. She says leave.
Alice was
at home.
Shook to her core. She was like, leave him. Yeah. I could. I would.
At home.
And
so,
then, doing?
So we see Mr. Gru say FP and Alice over Betty and Jughead. I don't know.
I love when they show up to the bar and Jughead's like, Miss Cooper, you look amazing. She's like, I know.
Yeah. he was like, oh, Miss Cooper, you look amazing. And she's like, yeah, I know. Like, he was not talking to you, woman. You need to calm down.
Yeah, she's fired up. She's
I am bummed that we never really got a scene of Alice and FP though at the bar.
Agreed. Yeah. Especially because she pounded four shots right away. Yeah. And I'm
like,
girl.
I felt like they were setting it up to go in that direction.
She held the worm.
I was looking for at least a sloppy kiss. Like, give me something.
Right. Totally. So, anyway, sorry, sidetracked. So,
it's really distracting. FP, can we make a ship name for them? Because I was thinking about it. It's either going
to
be Phallus, which is actually a name,
it's
which
pretty
is
close
word.
To phallic. Not great.
Well, maybe not. or it's like
he's not wrong.
AP, you know,
FC.
Well, his real name is. We could go Forsythe and Alice. So we'll be like.
Guys,
Forlis or Alcythe?
Alip.
It sounds all of it sounds a lot like penises.
Beautiful.
I don't know why.
It's yeah, yeah.
Well, so, guys, let us know, please, because I am so down.
I'm gonna call them Alp.
Yeah, Alp.
Done.
That's good. So
we'll keep
working on that one. So so that's definitely an interesting plot line, is the two of them. And this brings us now to Archie. And Betty, sorry, to Jughead and Betty.
Mm.
And,
a Freudian slip there?
Yeah, we'll get there. So they plan this going away party, and this is after Jughead has a conversation with his dad. A nice moment, a Friday Night Lights moment, as I called it. The music was incredibly reminiscent of FNL.
So
and, you know, talking to them, and they're on their motorcycles, and I was like, God damn, you guys look cool. You just look so cool.
You and Sam had such similar thoughts, and she was like, my God, they're both so sexy.
Yeah.
But they don't look alike at all.
Yeah, they don't look anything alike. I, like, really want Cole Sprouse to come on the show. I, like, have been tweeting at him
really?
Every week.
You guys
on our show? Wait, I don't want him here at all. Oh, my God.
You guys can definitely help us with
I
that.
Think we
if
can
you
get
just,
him.
Like, if the whole army of, like, followers, if you guys all just want to tweet at
Everyone,
Cole, like, just ridiculously,
anyone.
Just be like, hey, you should just drop by AfterBuzz. Those guys love you. They're going to treat you right.
I mean, we will not. We are full of love here.
Yes.
I have continued to love him more and more and more every episode.
But we also promise to contain ourselves and not be ridiculous when he walks through the door.
Super, super hard.
There's we, definitely we have, professionals. We could definitely, there's like some really, really strong, thick, like police grade glass we could put in the room here. Separate it if you need it.
Like between FP and him when he was in prison. Yeah, it could be that kind of thing.
Billie Jean, please don't literally die. That would not be good.
Yeah.
That's death. That's final.
Yeah, we don't want that. That's live. So, all right. So, yeah. So they have this conversation and he's just like, no, I don't want you to join the Serpents. And he's like, I went through the gauntlet, Dad. I've got to do it. I got to stay with the Serpents.
Chat about this freaking moment. Was anyone else like up in arms? I'm like, no, this is your ticket out. This is what you said you were never going to do. You got them real far. You got them through a lot of like madness, but now you get to go back. Like everything, like this was the plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he changed to being like, yeah, no, this is permanently where I would like to reside.
I think it may have been when everybody stood up by him saying, hey, having this conversation with the mayor, and the rest of the gang stood up and said, over.
That's fair. I feel
like
that
means like these guys are backing me.
He was like, hey, tall boy, stop acting like a little bitch.
Yeah.
I was really excited that he found it.
And then tall boy goes, okay.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, I think that Jughead never felt like he fit in Riverdale. You know?
I definitely think that they've really only just teased the Tony Topaz thing. It's like interesting that they only went there for like an episode, and then now she's just hanging around as a bartender, as a 15-year-old bartender.
Yeah.
Strong.
So young. However, Joelle, when I was watching that, I was like, she's in high school. She was like, well, I knew some high school bartenders back in the day.
They're not licensed bartenders.
Joelle's our small town police. She's the small town police.
In a small town, there's nothing to do but drink. Like, this is what we did.
I don't see Tony with Jughead, though. I love her. I really like her character, and I like that I don't see her with Jughead. I see her with other people.
I really want her to be a Jughead, but now that we're looking at Jughead and Veronica potentially being like little dons of their own small communities, I have a feeling that they're our next hookup.
You think Veronica and Jughead? I just feel like that's like one. I just don't see that one coming. Because Jughead was asexual as a character before they even wrote the show, and they already pushed him into having like a season one romance.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, I feel like if everybody starts flip-flopping it with each other, then it's going to be, for the longevity of the show, I'm going to be like, ugh. Like, in real life, if you constantly kept on swapping back and forth with your best friend?
Hello, Gossip Girl, the OC.
Do you think that they would possibly, like, just a thought, only because of the fact that he was asexual to begin with, would they push Jughead slightly in the direction of being bi, maybe? Do you think they would ever go there?
I would freaking love that, but I'm not sure the CW is there yet.
I would give it at least till the halfway of season 3 they ever even maybe season 4.
Yeah, it would seem like an aggressive move because they're already obviously like teasing Cheryl that way and they've already gone that way with Kevin, so it's like if they
and we know Tony is bi.
Yeah, I mean not like aggressive like it would be too much to put too many on TV relationships in that, but it just feels like with one of your main characters it would be a kind of a left turn, an extreme one at that.
Madeline,
I haven't gotten any sense from him that way.
Madeline Petch, she Instagram, I don't know if it's an Instagram story, whatever it was, but it was her with the actress, I'm blanking on her name, that plays Tony Topaz.
Vanessa Morgan.
And it's like, what a pair. And they're together on set, and there's just like a pair in front of them that, you know, Madeline put in the story. So I do think their storyline, I think that what we're trying to see with Cheryl is that she's going in that direction.
Yeah.
And that Tony Topaz perhaps is going to be the one to take her there.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, Cheryl and Tony?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Woof.
Hello.
I have real feelings about that. Cheryl needs to stay. I love Tony, and I don't want Cheryl near anyone I love. That girl is crazy.
The one thing I like, though, is when Jughead's like, Betty suggests, hey, we should have a retirement party for FP.
Yeah.
Jughead, I'll take care of everything. I do like that. Betty's just like, you know, I'm going to be the party planner for all my friends. Anytime you have a big event, I'll take care of it.
And right. I'll strip.
And I'll strip.
Oh, yeah.
So let's keep going. So she schedules the party. She shows up. We get the Mad World song. And then she starts stripping. And
did anyone else think this was a dream sequence?
Well, I mean, when we see her looking at the bar when she first gets that seed planted in her head by another member at the front of the Serpents, if she wants to be like, you know, serpent adjacent, we see her get that little smile as she's looking at that girl dancing on the pole.
So you know something like that's going to happen? I wish that when I had walked in, I came in and you guys were just finishing the episode, and so I saw that moment without headphones on, so I knew it was coming. I wish I didn't know it was coming.
I didn't know. It was bonk. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good moment, but Frank and I actually fist bumped at an Archie shirtless moment.
Yes.
Not that moment.
No, we were...
I love you guys.
Though I did, I mean, she's a beautiful girl and also is good at dancing. So there was a
And
picture.
Over the age of 21 at this point, FYI, in real life.
Yeah, I was chewing on my pen and while we were watching, Frank captured the shot. And I was just watching the show, but
I understand. You know, and this is so silly to me. The part that took me out of it for a moment as I'm watching that is because she's away from the microphone, yet the vocals are still continuing. Like, who's singing this part of the song now?
The chat has a very divided opinion. Like, we're like, it was hot. They're like, this is creepy.
It was awkward.
Olivia Abaziz, I had to watch it with my mom and skip the scene. And then my mom, that's why she was wearing no pants. Yeah, that's kind of, we were watching it here, and for those of you guys that are listening or watching and don't know, so the way AfterBuzz, the studios are set up, it's like a big, long corridor with these basically kind of like bar tables and TVs. So we all watch the shows right out there.
With headphones.
And then we come in here and watch. So there's 8 or 9 different TVs going at the same time, and so you're watching, but the TVs are like pointed out, so if like someone walks in behind you, they can see what you're watching.
Like an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, and so like this was like, you're like sitting there watching it, and you're like... I just was like, found myself looking around, like, who's watching me watch this?
I was there. You were not, Ben Bateman. You were locked in.
Okay, maybe in my head I wanted to be looking around, but Lily Reinhart's a beautiful woman who's very good at dancing. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, the dance happens, and she does her thing to become one of the serpents. She goes Dark Betty. We've seen it now enough times.
Yes.
That's a real thing. That's
Dark
not like a.
Dark Betty is Alice. Die.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, as soon as she took out that ponytail, I'm like, it's on. I'm so excited. And I felt the strip was pretty tame. Like, a lot of people are like, it's gross. She's underage. In the show, her character is, which, yes, is true. The guy clapping was maybe a little off-putting, but also, I mean, they're biker dudes, and most of them are drunk, and it's a party. Like, yeah. I got the tone of the room and understood, and that's why I feel like FP flew in, and he was like,
well, the
jacket.
FP being
off
like
the stage, please.
FP being like, thank you, Betty, and putting the jacket on. Yes. That part was kind of weird too. I mean, not to say that, like, I don't know what the hell else is supposed to happen there, but him putting the serpent jacket on her too, because the jacket was not supposed to get anywhere near her. She had a serpent jacket on. That was pretty awesome.
That's what she came here
and
for.
And Alice's face
as
she sees that going on too.
She's like, I'm leaving. I can't be here. And Betty's like, I'm not going, Mom.
Well, I just her realizing like what Betty's doing, because she's from that world, so she knows exactly.
She knows
and
the pole dance. She's probably done the pole dance.
She left her. She goes, okay, I know. And I mean, why did they go there together to begin with? Like, really, Alice is going to let Betty go to the bar with, like, the snakes and do all this? I mean, I almost felt like they skipped an episode where we learned more about Alice and all of that. Because I was just like, what the hell happened here?
Did you guys think that... that her putting on the jacket and like FP seeing it and the whole deal and Alice being like, I can't be here. Just totally forgot my question. I was trying to make up for it by saying more words and it didn't work.
Is this what happened with Alice and FP back in the day? That's what I thought.
I mean, maybe. I mean, they're definitely like, that's going towards something. Oh, I remember what it was. Yeah. I appreciated the fact when the pole move came up, that Tony was like, it's this really old, outdated, misogynistic shit, and misogyny dies hard. I was glad they pointed it out, as opposed to just like not pointing it out.
Yeah, not pointing it out would have made everything a lot weirder.
Would have been really bad. So that happens. They walk out, and Jughead's like, how many times are we going to... And she says, how many times are we going to do this? And he's like, until it sticks.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, so there's a breakup, it seems. Their breakup seemed a little bit less final than the Varchi breakup. The Varchi breakup seems like...
Really? I felt almost the reverse of it.
Really?
Yeah, just I felt like, you know, I want to call it... Jughead cannot, like... He can't let anyone be hurt. Like, that's his whole thing. And he's kind of chosen the serpent lifestyle. And now that his father is indebted and can't leave until he figures out a solution with this lawyer, I feel like he's going to brick himself off from anybody who is easily vulnerable. So that pretty much means he's done with Archie and Betty for a hot second, because neither one of those guys can get into too much like murky territory. Whereas,
even though they try to every single episode,
they really do throw themselves into the craziest situations. But Veronica, wait, is that where I was going with this? No, yeah. But Veronica and Archie, like, Veronica's like, I can't do this with you now. Like, I don't know how to be this person for you, which to me feels like once I work out my BS, we could maybe have a potential future. Whether Archie will see it that way or not, I do not know.
So, okay, we have Dream to Aspire said, I'm curious how FP even became the King of Serpents. Like, is that what Alice left the Serpents for? Something had to go down.
I don't know. But I did like this episode where, I mean, we get to see that moment between FP and Jughead, where he says, like, you know, I'm in, you're out.
Yeah, it was important.
You broke my heart. And he just, like, gives him a kiss on the...
Broke my heart, Jughead.
Yeah,
it's the Fredo.
Ridiculous.
The Fredo
moment.
Yeah, it was.
Ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. You left your son with a bunch of shit. Sorry, guys.
No, but this was a dumb move. And we talked about it last week, but I think it bears reiterating. Like, I told you not to do one thing. I said, don't trust this woman. And the minute, without any confirmation that I was actually physically hurt, like, there's nothing you could have done after I've already been jumped. Like, there's nothing, like, it already happened. So you could have waited a full 24 hours to be like, let me investigate and see what happened. Dad, is there something additional I can do? But you didn't even wait to figure it out. Nothing happened to him. And now we're all indebted to this woman for however long, and she is crazy and evil. Like, I feel like this was a well-earned moment. You done effed up, son.
Yeah, and I mean, Jughead tried. He tried to stand up to her in the diner and say, you know, get away from me. And she's like, I love when she's like, your girlfriend, Betty Cooper, she's quite fetching.
Yeah.
I was waiting to use that line and say that one of you guys was quite fetching, but then I forgot it until right now.
Well, it's time to maybe tap into Dark Betty's dark side and say, girlfriend, let's destroy people. And Dark Betty will say, yes, absolutely.
Mm. So here's the question, guys. Let's, the last thing we should cover before we get into predictions is... the girl next door, boy next door moment. As I said to Frank, as I was watching, I was like, is this about to go American Beauty? I was like, no, this is the CW. She can't take her shirt off. This would be too weird. But, like, they looked across at each other, and I was like, this feels real weird at the moment.
It did, yes.
Right? Did it not
very
feel like
American,
that scene?
And ever since the Kevin Spacey thing, I love that movie, but I just can't see it the same anymore.
That is totally respectable.
Yeah.
But also, right. I really like the scene cinematically. I like the way that she kind of moves out, but you can still see her shadow, so you can feel like this.
She's
thinking
back
about it. Well, you know, she's thinking about it, and she just slowly makes that U turn and is like, hey, what's up? I love them together. I told Sam as we were watching, I was like, my ship has finally come home. Like, I just. Archie and Betty is like.
Of course.
They're the all American romantic, like, couple. And these two have really great chemistry together. It's how we started the show initially with Archie, or with Betty trying to, like, be like, Archie, I think we could be together. Archie said he wasn't a good enough person back then. He's changed a whole lot since season one. I think this relationship could work. I know they're going to be working on solving the murder mystery next week. I'm ready.
He looks like he's added about 10 pounds of muscle, cut about 2% body fat.
That's true.
Really done some work on his rear delts. You know,
I started a gang.
Yeah, the gang, right. I have TV chills, guys, which means, you know, my psychic tendencies towards television. This is happening.
You're like the blonde girl from Mean Girls with
yes.
the brain.
I'm Karen. I am Karen. People used to call me that in high school, but you know what? I don't know what. I don't care. I love it. I am totally Karen.
Do you see that as almost like a rebound, though? I mean, and certainly I'm not talking like Endgame or whatever this
right.
but like at this moment, it is very much a rebound situation for the both of them. They're both kind of stinging
like
from that.
It also just seems
don't
like
bring reality into my family. Fantasy prank.
Sorry, Joelle.
I don't want there to be a rebound there.
Yeah.
Okay, I just need to put in there, I do not think so. I think that they finally realized who they were and what they wanted, what those both relationships were, and so they are brought together because, you know, Veronica can say, I love you, to Archie, and that's what Betty said the first thing in the pilot.
What's going
to
happen if, like, in real life, Cole and Lily, who are now dating, if, like, they go the other direction and now Archie and Betty start dating, and what is it going to cause problems and with KJ? And what if that really happens?
They're actors. Although
they started dating.
90210 tells us that a lot of crazy things could happen behind the scenes. But I would hope that everyone's fresh enough to be like, you know, we're actors, we do this all the time. It's not serious.
It's going to reference One Tree Hill, okay? You know, they ended up being okay as far as Chad Michael Murray and, you know, Sophia Bush, which was not a great story. But they did it, and they can do it. But I can really tell the chemistry between Cole And, you know.
I don't know. Leah Jordan just referenced your favorite show. So, which you're not allowed to say the name. It's banned from the show. All right. So let's get into the last bit of the show. And I think it's probably best for predictions. So why don't we get into them right now?
At this moment.
And now, you're after Buzz.
All right, so I believe that the Black Hood is actually Sheriff Howard. He's not dead.
Whoa!
I think Sheriff Howard was investigating. I think that's what they were alluding to in this episode. I think the red herring is the fifth child, who is the janitor, and that was what was supposed to trick us. I think we're going to find out next episode that it's Sheriff Howard, and he's not actually dead.
But then he went down the rabbit hole?
I think that he went down the rabbit hole and disappeared, and something I don't know what happened, but that was when I was thinking about all the pieces that added up, that felt like it was the thing that they were like, Sheriff Howard was investigating, but he died 2 years ago. So it's like, you could never be Sheriff Howard. But like, and she was like, my dad was obsessed with that case. He went down the rabbit hole. He was, I think it's him. That's
a really good thing. I'm going to pick up on that and say that when, oh my God, Joseph was telling us about the killing of the guy that murdered his family, he wasn't there to witness it. So
well,
a bunch of guys take
his family.
Can I just say a quick what's up to Richard Jarvie? He's one of my favorites, a longtime fan, an Action Movie Anatomy watcher for years, and I just wanted to say what's up, Richard. Never seen you in here before.
So Joseph's family was murdered. Right. The man who murdered his family was apparently taken out. He was a grifter. They found him. They took him out into the woods. Some things happened. But Joseph did not witness Jack. We do not know what really happened. I'm not sure that guy was really killed. I'm not sure I believe it.
That story felt pretty made up to me.
Mm-hmm. It definitely feels hollow. I still think we're dealing with some cult-level magic stuff. I still think Polly's involved. Maybe her baby's going to be ritual sacrifice. I don't know.
Oh, God.
But it's all connected, and I'm looking forward to finding out. I think that's what's going to loop us back in, and hopefully we get that next episode. Because you're right. Like, at this point, I'm like, I don't care about the Black Hood. Like, give me more romance. But I feel like once we start connecting it to Jason Blossom's murder, which was our big mystery from season one, once we start connecting it to crazy guy we met last episode, who they showed us again in a flashback for this episode, was like, at the top of the episode, before the episode started, when they like recap for the previous week, we got
Tony Todd.
Thank you, who was like giving us all this crazy like religious background mumbo jumbo. It's going to start connecting, and then we're going to get interested. And I don't think he died, and I still think he's leading a cult, and I still think Polly is a key component to it.
So I'm just going to add that I think Hiram Lodge is a huge component to all of this. You know, we've kind of seen him be the silent, very important person of this season. And, you know, if you follow any of them on social media, he is there. He's a very, very important person. But yet we get, you know, 1 to 2 scenes with him a week. So I think this is all somehow under Hiram's thumb, or Hiram is working for somebody that is making all this happen. But I very much think that Veronica is going to find herself in quite a predicament as to who to trust, because her father is going to be a big part of it.
I don't know if I think that Hiram is as deeply involved as you are, but I do think you don't bring that character on after building up so much in season one without having something in store for him. So whether it's in this pod for this part
probably
of the season.
Probably the second half.
Yeah, that we actually get to see what more of Hiram in action doing his thing.
I think, yeah, it's probably a second half thing. Olivia Abaziz, the question, do I still think that Barchi is the end game? I do. And I don't even think that Barchi is the end game. Like, that's going to... I think it's a while from now that really becomes a serious thing. Mm-hmm. That's probably, like, a final season thing. Mm-hmm. But, I think they'll have some dalliances in the meantime. I think next week we'll start it out.
I don't know, guys. I mean, I know there was a Vampire Diaries reference earlier in the chat.
couldn't help yourself.
I just couldn't. And you know what? We didn't know what was going to happen with them. So I think it's just going to be a ping pong game of love.
Okay, fair enough. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be here this same time, same place next week. So watching at 9, taping at 10, as we're an hour earlier now, which is very exciting for all of us.
Yeah,
on the West Coast.
And hopefully for you guys, too.
Yes. And that also means that I think there's only like 2 more episodes for the mid-season finale, right?
No, next week.
And we will find out who the Black Hood is next week.
Next week is the mid-season finale?
Yes.
On Wednesday?
And we will find out.
Okay, great.
You
fantastic.
Seem very sad. You're like startled by what? I don't know more Riverdale until 2018.
Oh, it's a Christmas episode, you guys.
It is. I'm so jazzed.
So excited.
It's going to be good. All right, guys, thank you so much. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter and Instagram. My name's Ben Bateman. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman. Just kidding. Sam Davidson, SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
Hi, guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and every Monday here at 5 o'clock doing Animation Weekly with the only Carrie D. Lane.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I'm Frank Moran. Yeah, you know,
yes, you are.
No, stop it, Ben Bateman. It is.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. Love you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.